God will make a way. Thank you, Cindy and Janet and girls, for leading us in worship this morning. Forgot my little clicker, so I had to walk down and get that. We've been walking through the book of Genesis, and as we've talked through the book, sometimes things in life don't turn out exactly the way maybe we had anticipated or we had planned. I remember one time in my there was a girl I liked. I had a crush on this girl when I was in college. And there was this one night, they would have open dorms and things, and I remember we were in kind of like one of these areas in the dorm, just kind of an area with couches, and there were tables and different things, and I got this idea that popped into my head, and I'm not sure where it came from, probably Satan at the time, who knows, but I got this idea that popped into my head, and I thought, she was kind of sitting on a couch, and I was kind of standing in an area behind the couch, and I was like, I'm going to do something just kind of crazy here. I'm going to run, and there's this table next to the couch. I'm going to run. I'm going to jump off the table, and I'm going to sit in the seat next to her, and it's going to be this huge display of just masculinity and athleticism. Boy, was that a dumb thought. So in the split second, I decide I'm going to do this, and I start running. And I hit that table, and the table just disintegrates underneath me. There's shards of wood flying. That didn't turn out the way I had anticipated at all. It ended with me feeling humiliated, feeling ashamed, and lying on the floor. That's not what I had pictured. Joseph's life, as we've been walking through the book of Genesis, Joseph's life hasn't turned out how he had anticipated either. Joseph was simply going to find his brothers. I reread through it this morning, and his dad said, hey, go find your brothers and bring me a report back of what's going on. They're out watching the sheep. You go find them. He was simply going to find his brothers, but he wasn't the most popular among his brothers. And so as his brothers see him coming, they devise a scheme. First, they're going to kill him, but then they throw him in a pit. And then they decide, well, what are we going to do with him in the pit? Well, let's sell him. We'll make some money off of this. And so they sell him, and he gets sold into slavery and taken down into Egypt. His life isn't going the way he thought it would go. And that's where we left our story a couple weeks ago. We're going to read through Genesis chapter 39. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there this morning, Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Verse 7, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10, and as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled. and he got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought a Hebrew among us to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, but I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I had lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came into me to laugh at me, but as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Joseph had many ups and downs in his life. His brothers had thrown him into a pit, as we talked about. That's kind of a downer. He'd been brought up from the pit. Oh, maybe my brothers are going to just let me go back to my dad. No, that's not the case. He was sold and taken down into Egypt. It's funny how the scripture, I mean, directionally it's down, but it's down. It's down into Egypt. He was placed high in authority in Potiphar's home, and then we're left, and he's thrown into jail, but then he's put in charge of the prisoners at the prison. He just ups and downs of Joseph's life. Joseph had experienced these highs and these lows, but as I was reading through this passage this week, there was one phrase that just kept popping up, and that's this phrase: the Lord was with Joseph. It's at least twice in these passage. The two that stuck out to me were verse 2 and verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph. God's presence affects Joseph's life and through all of the ups and downs that he's experienced. And I think there are some realities in Joseph's life that can translate to our lives. And they're not perfect translations, but there are some things, some events that are happening there that I think also can give us some keys of what Joseph was going through as well. So here's the first one: realities of God's presence. The first one's God's presence being success and favor. And maybe you're thinking this morning, well, but I don't feel successful. I don't feel like I'm favored. And maybe Joseph was feeling that way at the time too, because he'd been sold into slavery. He was a slave of all slaves. And sometimes we read through the Bible and we don't think about the context. We don't think about the timing. Joseph was about 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. He was a young man, an adolescent by our terminology. It would be 17 years before he would rise to power and have his brothers visit him again. There's an amount of time here that's happening, that's going on. Joseph didn't get sold into slavery and immediately rise to power in Potiphar's house. It took some time. As a beginner slave, he wouldn't have had the best of jobs to do. He probably was cleaning out their bathrooms, and it wouldn't have been like cleaning our bathrooms. It would have been a disgusting task. He probably would have been the one cleaning out the stalls of the animals, also not the best of tasks. He would have had the lowest of the lowest of the low of jobs because he's coming in as just a slave. And so, in the midst of that, time goes by and Potiphar begins to see the things that Joseph was doing and begins to see that he's taking these tasks and he's doing them as best ability as he can, and so he puts a few people under him. And then he sees, wow, he's leading those few people great, and he puts a few more and a few more and a few more, and soon Joseph, the Bible tells us, is in charge of all of Potiphar's household. It says only the only thing that Potiphar didn't have to concern himself with or concerned himself with was the food that he ate. That was all that he concerned himself with. Everything else was in Joseph's charge. So he could just sit back and throw those grapes in and be happy. I don't know that Joseph would have thought at this point that he was successful, but he's just trying to make the most out of where God has placed him. The Bible tells us that because of God's blessing on Joseph, Potiphar begins to be blessed. Everything that's happening in the field and with the animals is being blessed because Joseph is there, because God's blessing is overflowing onto Potiphar and his household. In the midst of our times in life, and Joseph was in the midst of this time in his life where things weren't necessarily the best. But in the midst of our down times, in the midst of losing a job, in the midst of having car troubles, in the midst of kids screaming, in the midst of losing the big game, in the midst of trying to get by financially, God is still working to bring success. But you see, success in God's kingdom doesn't look like success in our minds. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Success in God's kingdom means being the poor in spirit. It means mourning. It means being meek. It means hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It means being merciful. It means having a pure heart. It means being a peacemaker, and it means being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Those are Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. There are times when God chooses in a Christian's life to bless them financially. There are those times. But I think those are not the norm. Those are more the exception. You see, God's primary focus is on our hearts, not on our checkbooks. Don't get me wrong, the Bible does talk about money. The Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, even Jesus in his words, he addressed money multiple times, but more so he talked about having a right and proper heart before God. And out of that heart flows what we do with our money. Out of that heart flows how we talk to other people. Out of that heart flows what our relationships look like. God is after heart growth, not bank growth. And so success in Joseph's life didn't mean he had a great bank account, but it meant that God was blessing him. God put him in a place, even though he was still a slave, he was the highest of all the slaves. But I'm still a slave, God. God, just set me free. How many times do you think Joseph prayed that? God, just get me out of here. I know I'm the highest of the slaves, but I'm still a slave. How many times have you had something like that in your life that you just asked for God to take away from you? What situations have you just asked God, God, give me success in this? But maybe God's success doesn't look like your success or your idea of success. Maybe you need to have a different perspective on the situation and see how God is working to grow you through the situation. God was preparing Joseph here for something bigger. God had a plan in Joseph's life, and we don't get to that till later on. Again, it was 17 years later. God is working. Think of Moses. Moses spent 40 years leading a bunch of sheep around. Then he spent 40 years leading a bunch of people around. Do you think there had some similarities there that God was trying to teach him? Probably. And in Joseph's life, God is preparing him and God is guiding him in the midst of this. think about how God is bringing success in your life in the midst of the struggles. Second reality we have is God's presence leads to fleeing sin. And my mind, as I was reading through this and writing out this point, I thought, well, but think about the Garden of Eden. God's presence was there and they didn't flee sin. So this isn't a universal point. This doesn't always happen, but in God's presence, we're less likely to commit sin. So God's presence leads to fleeing sin. Joseph doesn't go looking for sin, but sin finds him. He's been given the position over all that Potiphar owns, but Potiphar's wife begins to take note of him. The Bible tells us that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. She begins to see how he looks and takes note of his details. But Joseph gives us insight as she's trying to lure and entice him. He says this in verse 9. Speaking of his master, he is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against, who's he say there? Sin against Potiphar. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against you, Potiphar's wife? We're not given her name. Just call her Potiphar's wife. But how can I sin against you? No, that's not what he says. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And sin against God. What was Joseph's character like? Joseph's focus was on pleasing God, not in pleasing men. Joseph's main goal was not in keeping his position of authority. Joseph's main goal was not in keeping Potiphar happy. Joseph's main goal was not even anything to do with Potiphar's wife, but Joseph's main goal, his focus, was on his relationship with God. God, Joseph cared more about his relationship with God than his relationship with people. He was willing to show integrity no matter the consequences. He would rather face bad consequences from people than face consequences from God. And that's exactly what happened. Joseph gets set up. He gets falsely accused. He gets thrown into prison. But guess what? His relationship with God was not tarnished. Would you be willing to give up everything you worked for in order for your relationship with God to stay right? Because that's what happened to Joseph. He lost it all again. Went into a worse situation. He goes from being the highest of slaves to the lowest in a prison. You thought the lowest of the lowest of the low slaves was bad. Think about going to the lowest, lowest, lowest of a prison setting. He goes from bad to good to worse. I think at times we don't have the same view of sin as Joseph had, or the same view of sin that the Bible tells us. We have a view of sin sometimes, as one author put it that I read this week. We flee from sin, but then we wait around the corner for it to catch up with us. Let me say that again. We flee from sin like Joseph. We flee from sin, we run away, but then we wait around the corner for it to catch up with us. When the Bible tells us, Paul gives instructions to Timothy to flee youthful passions. Paul tells the Corinthian church that no temptation has overtaken them except what is common to man. That God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God gives us a way out, and as Christians we're called to purify our lives, and as the author of Hebrews says it, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run the race with perseverance. Even if that means in the midst of that we could be falsely accused. Even in the midst of that, if that means that we could be ridiculed, even in the midst of that, if that means that we're going to face challenges and persecution, so would you be willing to give up everything you worked for in order to keep a right relationship with God? The final thing I see that's a reality of God's presence is God's presence never leaves us. God's presence never leaves us. No matter how far down Joseph's life seems to go, God is there. Even in the midst of being a slave, even in the midst of being thrown into a prison, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. God's presence never leaves, and there are others who God uses that have some extreme low points in their life. Adam's hiding behind a tree because he feels shame. Moses is stuck in the desert with the Israelites, and he's frustrated by their whining. He says, God, just kill me now. Joshua is battling fortified cities. David is facing a giant. Elijah is depressed and feeling abandoned on the side of a mountain. Jonah is swallowed by a fish in the middle of the sea. Peter's denying Jesus three times in the middle of the night. And Paul locked away in a jail cell for preaching the gospel. In each of these situations, these people are reaching all-time lows. But God is right there with them in the midst of their struggles and in the midst of even their disobedience. God is with them. It's just like God tells Joshua, Joshua 1:9, as he's getting ready to take those fortified cities, he says, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, and as Christians, we've been given the same type of promise. Wherever we go, God is going to be with us. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 28, he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have that same promise that God has given to us, that he will always be there with us if we're a Christian. So in closing this morning, God's continual presence leads us to be men and women of integrity despite the circumstances we may find ourselves in. Maybe you're going through a low patch in life right now. Maybe no matter what you do, you feel like you can't get a break. You feel like you can't get ahead. You feel like it's just too difficult. But let me encourage you that God is with you. He has a bigger plan. He has a bigger purpose in your life. He's sovereign in the midst of all the pain that you might be experiencing. God's plan for Joseph was to use him for something much bigger. In the next couple of chapters, we read about Joseph being in charge of all of the land of Egypt. No one is greater than him than Pharaoh himself. Kind of wonder what Potiphar was thinking at that point. But he becomes a partial fulfillment of the covenant that was made to Abraham, that all people of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. Genesis chapter 41, verse 57. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt. Who was Abraham? Who were the descendants of Abraham? Who was going to be blessed through them? The Bible tells us all the earth. And in Genesis chapter 41, verse 7, all the earth came to Egypt because Joseph had answered the question of Pharaoh about what his dream said. Joseph had given Pharaoh instructions about here's what we need to do. Joseph said we need to save some food up for these 7 years of provision that God's going to give us so that we have food to sell. And it says, moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain because the famine was severe over all the earth. All the people of the earth were blessed through Joseph. Partial fulfillment of the covenant that God made to Abraham, but not the complete fulfillment. You see, God led Joseph to become second in command of all of Egypt by way of the royal dungeon. Not the way that you would think. But we need to trust God that he will get us to the destination he has planned for us. And we need to do that in integrity, despite where we find ourselves living as God has called us to live. Would you pray with me? God, this morning, we come before you. God, we are humbled in the wake of Easter and the realities of what you did for us on the cross, the punishment that you endured for our sakes. But God, we're also challenged by Joseph's life, living with integrity, living fully for you in the midst of slavery, in the midst of being imprisoned, God, but you were with him. So in light of the promises that you give to us, that you will with us, you will never abandon us, God. Help us to live as you have called us to live. Help us to sacrifice the things that you call us to sacrifice. God, help us to abstain from the sinfulness and, God, truly flee when we are tempted by evil. God, help our hearts to be working in the midst of these situations so that we are growing closer to you, so that we are growing in the face of the circumstances that we find ourselves in life. God, help us to truly serve you. Help us to truly love you. And God, out of that love, help us to show love to others as well. God, help us take Joseph's example and live out as he did, truly focusing on you, trying to please you and not others. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.